World's on far fire. Lefty.
Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, the world's getting funkier and funkier, isn't it? I don't know the better word to be able to use than that. Thanks for getting up here this morning with us on the 14th day of October 2024. The world's crazy. I, you know, we take, I don't know if you guys have ever put this together. We take 2 days off here, right? Saturday and Sunday. And then I get, this weekend in particular, I didn't really follow a whole lot what was going on. And I get in here this morning and I'm starting to do show prep, and I could do 73 different shows on 73 different topics of things that are going on in the culture and the society. And you have to ask yourself, is this happening by design? What the hell is going on? Sorry, didn't mean to swear at you right away. They're coming out of the gates. Oh, big day today. My brother Dan, the one that just passed away on May 20th. It's his birthday. Dan, happy birthday, Dan. Happy birthday. And how about this one? Man, we had to put Opie down, our cat. We had to put Opie down on Saturday, and it was the 125th birthday of my dad. So Opie, our cat, I mean, why is it you think that, why is it so hard to kill a stupid old cat? I mean, old Opie was in such misery. And so, you know what, we're going to try to, we couldn't get him to eat. He slept, I told you all this sounds kind of gross. He would always sleep on the pillow beside Michelle and I at night. He'd sleep on the pillow. And he got to the point he couldn't get up on bed to sleep on the pillow. He'd sleep down along the bed. He lost all kinds of weight. And yet you feel bad about putting the guy to sleep. So Opie's gone. Thanks for being around, Opie. You're a good old dog. A good old cat. Let me get some other stuff up here. Again, my brother Dan, as I salute Dan today, October 14th. Wow, crazy, huh? Hey, folks, do me a favor. I know it's tough. Let's not desert Bill Dunphy and Paul Gosselin in jail. Come on, let's not do that. Let's at least try to once a week send them a card. And I mean, I go to bed every night, literally, a couple times a day. Say to Michelle, Bill Dunphy's in freaking prison. He's in prison. Now, you see, you don't know Pastor Bill the way I know Pastor Bill. He's a godly man. He's a righteous man. Yeah, Cal Zastro reports to jail tomorrow. These are godly, righteous men. And think of the creeps that are out there walking the streets. What is going on other than it's a spiritual war and a spiritual attack? Paul Gosselin, the same thing. Let's just try to remember him. Spencer, can you maybe somehow, I think a couple of days ago you stuck up their addresses. Could you maybe somehow put that in the chat or something where people could see it? And just, hey, folks, take your phone. And then when Spencer gets it up on the screen, take a picture of it. And just send them a card. You don't have to write them a whole long note, love letter, anything like that. And I think about it every day. Hey, there before the grace. There it is, up on your screen. So do this, grab your phone and go click, and then you have it. And just remember to do it. It's their lifeblood in a lot of ways. Looking over here at my notes, sorry. And then, man, hey, look. There's so much being revealed right now. If we will see it. Remember, Jesus told us, the Lord said that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And it's not always happening in this, maybe the speed we would want it to, the manner that we would want it to, But if you look long enough and you can see signs, there's a lot going on, baby. There is a lot going on. And I was thinking as I put this down here about our efforts to down in I got a mental block down there. This weekend, Craig Mickle, God bless Craig, and Pennsylvania Brett and his wife Tame, they delivered truckloads of stuff down there to Tennessee. Actually, they went to a different place. I don't know if Craig's in here this morning to talk a little bit about this, but I want to encourage those of you out there. I don't know what this always to be about, the hurricane, but it's pretty important. We are organizing a trip down there. We would love for you to come. Love for you to come and just be part of it. And just to get a feel for exactly what went down there, because it's one of those things, unless you have seen it, you will not believe it. You just won't believe it. And to think that whole area has to be rebuilt down there and people lost everything. And then let me encourage you with another thing, because we are raising funds. And if you want to make someplace your church, wherever, you want to make it a collection place where people bring stuff and drop it off and then transport it down to the hurricane area. We'll support that. We'll fund that. If we have to rent you a truck, whatever. So let's all begin to do it. Folks, getting involved like this really helps people live out their faith a little bit more. And it's been one of the most life-changing things that I've seen is when I take people to the disaster area, they're changed, man. They're changed. You know why they're changed? The easiest thing you can do is to give something away to somebody. It's so easy. But you really want to do something that's really, really impactful. Give something away to somebody who's desperate. It's desperate. These people are desperate. And it will give you a spiritual jolt like maybe you've never had. So I'd like to encourage all of you to do as much as you can. And if it's a financial issue, we'll be glad to try to help you get a truckload of stuff down there. And again, we're going to go down. I think I made my notes over here. Let me get my computer back up here. Where'd you go? There you go. We're going to go down October 26th. That's 12 days. We're going to try to spend a week or so down there. So if you're interested in going, please jump in there. And I see Gary's hand went up. That's important. Gary Pierce, thank God for Gary. Gary's kind of coordinating everything that's going on for us. Come on in, Gary.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Thanks. Sure. Just an update on what's going on down there. They're really transitioning to the distribution phase. They say they have enough heavy equipment and heavy equipment operators and chainsaws and things. So what they really need is people to push product out to the remote areas and to drive that out there and to get that the supplies out to the people who are abandoned at this point. And basically, you know, that's the type of people they really need in the next several weeks.
Folks, you would love doing that. In other words, they have a distribution center, and you would maybe use your car, your truck, whatever, to drive the food out to the people. Wow, what a honor that would be.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Gary. So Gary's on top of all this stuff, folks. Man, I got a lot going on here. Got a lot going on. Thanks, Gary, for doing that. Jeff Klein's got his hand up. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, you get that picture I sent you, that little girl? That was our first drop off there at the car lot. Little 10-year-old girl come walking across my parking lot carrying a little tote.
I'm looking, Jeff. Did you text it to me?
Yeah.
Man, I'm looking. Keep talking.
She come walking across the parking lot, and I walked out there because she went to the other building first where I'm going to store it.
I
looked at her. I said, "What do you got there, young lady?" And mom says, "She went to the store and picked this stuff out herself." 10 years old. I said, you know what? That's our first donation. I just put the sign up the day before. So I took a picture and sent it to you. I said, Coach might put this up on his podcast. You'll be seen all across America donating. Oh, man, she was smiling and so happy. It was funny.
Awesome. So I'm sending this right now, Spencer. Maybe you can pull that up there. It's a great opportunity, friends. Really, you know, Jeff's got a donation place going, and and others can do that. And again, I just really, really encourage you that it's a great outreach. People want to help. They want to donate. They want to do that kind of stuff. So again, whatever you guys are doing, I want you to know that we're behind you, and we'll help you financially make that thing happen. Did that come to you yet, Spencer? Yeah, I did. So here's a picture of this little girl that showed up. Huh? Wow. Good work, Jeff. Appreciate that. Appreciate it. Craig, you have anything you want to say, or Pennsylvania Brett, anything in the updates at all? Because I know they both went down there.
No, I didn't physically go. I just helped logistically.
I got it. Yep.
So, but I talked to PA Brett on the way home. Last night, he's probably sleeping.
Yeah, he called me too. Yeah, he called me too.
So, no, I think he's going to get you some good pictures and give you some on-the-scene reports here, hopefully this
week. It'll be tomorrow, he said. Yep. Amen. Amen. And yes, we're still taking donations, and everything you give us, we will spend. Okay, cool. Again, October 26th. October 26th, we're going to go down again.
No, Coach. October 28th. That's a Monday.
October 28th.
And what we're trying to do is we want to try to fill that first week, the week of the 28th, and then goes to the following Sunday. Once we fill that week with at least 10, 12 people, then we'll move to the second week following that.
Thanks, Gary. Those are called man hours. So they want us to provide so many man hours for them down there. And we're trying to get 10, 12 people be willing to go down there and spend a week. Say, some of you say, I can't go a week. Okay, can you go a couple days, 3 days? Maybe we can kind of push it together, make it happen. So they got a lot of good stuff going on. Again, that's Grindstone Ministries. Spence, maybe you can pull that up again there real quickly. Grindstone Ministries is who we're working with. Although, I know that Pennsylvania Brett, he went to another area, and he found somebody to work with there as well. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you something. As we scroll there, where's morality come from? What determines what's right and what's wrong? Where did that come from? Do unto others as we have others do unto you. Where did this whole idea of morality come from? And how did we get to a point in America when there is so little morality, common morality, common sense of right and wrong? Who says that it's a good thing to help an old lady across the street? Who says it's all it's a good thing to love your neighbor? Who says it's a good thing to help people that need to be helped? Who says it's a good thing? What makes that a good thing? Why is it just stealing from people a good thing? Well, we all know what the answer to all that is, right, folks? We know it comes from Scripture. And how did we get to the point in America where we let Scripture, teaching it to our children and our grandchildren, not be an issue anymore? I got some stuff this morning I want to show you. Pull up number pull up number two for me real quick. Mark Driscoll. I don't know if you guys know Mark Driscoll. I got two clips of him I want to play today. He's going up on my list more and more. Let me stop a second. What's the purpose of a church as compared to the gospel? Pull up Matthew chapter 5. I think it's chapter 5, top of my head here. Bear with me. Keep on going down. And seeing the multitude, Jesus healed his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom. Yada, yada, blessed are all the right. So that's Beatitudes. But then he's going to tell us what it is we're supposed to do. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Stop a minute. Why would you ever be persecuted for righteousness' sake? Why would he even put that in the Bible? Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Boy, that would preach. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, because boys and girls, they prosecuted all the prophets who were before you. You're the salt of the earth. Salt loses a savor, wherewith it be salted. It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You're the light of the world. City set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither men light a candle, put it under a bushel, put it on a candlestick. Give light to all unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that you may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So time out. Uh-oh, hang on. Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. No, no, I didn't come to destroy them. I came to fulfill them. Somebody show me in this scripture here where it says to come to church on Sunday and huddle together and go get blessings. Where does it say that? And how do we get to the point where very few churches are doing this? Is your church hated? Your church hated? I think about a guy like Matt Tuella. His church is hated. I'll tell you another guy's going to be hated before long. Clint Harper's going to be hated before long. He's starting to go out and stir things up. Folks, we have to go give the light to the darkness. Go give the light to the darkness. And what does he say is going to happen when you go give the light to the darkness? He said, you're going to be hated of all men. We're going to hate you when you do that. Why? Because you call into judgment someone else's behavior. That's being salt. That's what we're supposed to do. And I've reflected this weekend as, you know, I spoke about going to the school on Friday. I just told, I came to everybody. So we got no morality, man. We have no common sense of morality at all in America. How did that happen to us? So pull up. I got two clips of Mark Driscoll. Both of them are pretty good. I just want you to hear those real quick, Spence. So pull this one. See what you think.
So do you think that there's any argument to be made for a Bible believing Christian to support the Harris-Waltz campaign?
This is not a hard election. This is not a difficult, complex thing. There's no nuance here. One side wants to cut off body parts of children. One side wants to kill babies up until the ninth month of them being in the womb. One side wants a complete hijacking of the economy with government-controlled food prices, which always leads to socialism and destruction.
Completely.
This is not difficult. The fact that pastors and leaders have to even have these conversations shows how deceived the American church is. There's no nuance. There's no difficulty here. It's very easy.
Okay, so now we know this, that probably 60% of the church is what they would call MAGA, Trump voters, 60%. It means 40% of the church isn't. And then I saw this, another 40, I can't remember, staggering number, 40% of Christians don't even vote. Don't even vote. And then I watched Driscoll do the next one, pull that one up there. And I'm wondering, golly, maybe I'll start church and start doing this. I tip my hat to you, Mark. Go ahead. Mark Driscoll says, what I think of weak, cowardly pastors. Go ahead.
You are pastors and you're cowards. You're just cowards. You don't say anything and you don't do anything because you feel like your goal and job is to stay out of trouble. You need to activate, and you need to activate men in your church. You need to activate them to be filled with the Holy Spirit under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You need to activate them to push back against government seeking to overreach and indoctrinate and sexualize and mutilate and seize custodial ownership of children.
You need to tell men. Hey, Spencer, do me a favor. Go back about 10 seconds on this. Roll this back about 10 seconds. And you tell me, is this yes or no? I don't care what you think about Donald Trump. You tell me, what is he about to mention? Are these the characteristics of the Democrat Party? And if they are, how could a Christian possibly vote for him? Start it about there and see what happens. Go ahead again.
Seeking to overreach and indoctrinate and sexualize and mutilate and seize custodial ownership of children. You need to tell men that it's their job not just to vote for Democrats to tax people, but it's their job to go to work and to generate revenue and to tithe to their God and then to be generous toward their wife and their kids. And if you will just breathe that into your men, if you'll speak that into your men, if you'll activate that into your men, we won't need the damnable government. We won't need it to take care of us from womb to tomb. We won't need it to feed women and children because men will take their rightful place in society and they will act like men, exercising dominion, being tough to protect their family, being tender to provide for their family. So this entire thing to me, it's just class warfare. And if you have a modicum of a functioning frontal cortex, you need to understand that this is just social, cultural Marxism. That's all that it is. Just the virtue signaling of equity and taking care of everyone. What that means is government largesse, and it means disincentivizing men, and it means enlarging government to remove and replace men. This is not a plan that is going to work. And
Paul, in the vice president, I'm just going to say this. It would be insulting to me. Are you looking at me? It would be insulting to me to think that anybody would think that I would vote for that woman, Kamala Harris. It would be insulting to me to think that any person would think I'm so weak I would vote for that woman. Now, listen, I vote for, what's that girl out there in Arizona?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I'd vote for maybe Carrie Lake. Here's who I'd vote for. What's that black girl? She doesn't even run. My brain, I was up really late last night. Bear with me.
Candace Owens.
I'd vote for Candace Owens. I'd vote for Carrie Lake. And they give us this freaking Kamala Harris. This freak woman and men ought to just flip them off. Say, I ain't voting for her just because you think I'm stupid enough that you'd give it to us. Go ahead.
Vice presidential debate. Let me say this. Both men claim to be Christians. I just met J.D. Vance here in Arizona not long ago. Got a little time with him backstage. Honestly, first impression, I liked him. He was kind. He was present. He's a brilliant man. You can see it. He's a brilliant man. Absolutely capable of eviscerating most anyone in a debate. Calm, cool, collected. He's a Catholic, so he believes what us Protestants believe, plus a few things that the Catholics believe. But he is going to be pro-life. He is going to be pro-marriage. He is going to be pro-family. And the other man claims to be a Christian. He's already demonstrated theological ineptitude and apostasy. Here's another word that Jesus said. Not only did he quote Jesus, here's another quote from Jesus. If you do harm to a child, it would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea than what Jesus has planned for you. So you just need to quote the right verses. And Jesus also talks about marriage between a man and a woman. He does. Jesus also talks about the sexual perversion and destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Jesus talks about things that even the red letter, woke, apostate, progressive, pseudo freaking Christians that selectively quote the scriptures, they don't even believe all the red letters because Jesus is pro-binary gender, pro-heterosexual marriage, pro-life, pro-child, and was executed, hear me in this, by the government, because the government is always against Jesus Christ. So, amen. You know, just some rainbow flag wearing cross, you know, demonstrating verse quoting apostate should not be compelling, but that's where we find ourselves. Thanks for joining me.
Amen. Amen, Mark Driscoll. Amen, Mark Driscoll. See, I think it's about time that pastors stood up in the church and told everybody who they were voting for and why everybody else should too. That's what I think. Because look, at least it's going to separate you the wheat from the goats. Huh? I want to know who my pastor's voting for. Because if he's voting for somebody different than me, one of us has got it wrong. And I want to know why he's voting for that guy, right? What did Driscoll say? Cutting off little ding-dongs off of little boys. I ain't voting for that. I'm not for that. I'm not for homosexuality. I ain't for that. I'm a Christian. I'm not for murdering babies. Doesn't have to go much farther than any of that, does it? Doesn't have to go much farther than that. Yet our pastors won't even make it clear. And look at number one. Pull number one up here as if we had any suspect about exactly what's going on. Look at this. The Pope's urging LGBT meeting to reverse the ban on gender-affirming care. Now, look, I don't know what makes somebody want to be I don't know what makes a man want to be a woman. I don't know. I'm sorry for them. I feel bad for them. But I'm not going to sit back and let them change the entire morality of the nation because of it. Folks, do you understand what's at stake?
Boom.
Yeah, we feel for them. Okay, we feel for them. If it was my child, I would feel for him. I would love him. But I'm not going to change marriage and the culture and the family and the society to make them feel better. That's where we are. Folks, that's where the church is. And until we can get a common set of morality in the church, look at those people. I mean, you understand every man you're looking at is a former woman, and every woman you're looking at is a former man. You understand it?
Yep.
There sits Poppy Pope sitting right in the middle of it. I want a pastor to stand in the pulpit and tell me what's right and tell me what's wrong and quit worrying about making people upset. If he makes me upset, I'll leave. You know what I'd do? I'd leave if he starts telling me lies. I'd leave. If he won't tell me the truth, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Come on in, Roger. I'm not mad. It just seems like it. I cannot believe how wishy. If my dad was a Democrat. He was a union Democrat. We all know, we knew millions of them, right, folks? Remember when the Democratic Party was for the little guy? Hang on. I ain't here putting Donald Trump up on the cross saying what a great guy he is. I'm a Trump supporter. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not voting or you're voting for the other guy, what is wrong with you? If you can't see the spiritual war that's in front of us, my dad was a union Democrat. I can tell you this. Frank Dobenmeyer, God rest his soul, 125 years old, 2 days ago. He was a union Democrat, went to the grave pulling the union lever. He would have never voted for Kamala Harris. He would have never. Never. You see, the changes that are going on behind the scenes, the average guy that you go to church with doesn't understand. He doesn't see it. He's not like you and I, who consume all the media, read everything that's going on, and understand exactly what's going on. He doesn't get it. He watches the commercials. He watches whatever news he watches. He probably doesn't have any idea what the hell's going on, right? And where are they going to hear this stuff? They're going to hear it in the church when the pastor stands in the pulpit and says, if you vote for somebody who wants to cut off little boys' penises, if you vote for somebody who wants to murder unborn babies, if you vote for somebody who's for homosexual marriage, dude, you are in sin. What's so hard about that? Come on in, Roger.
You know, here in Ohio, the only anti-Marino commercial that is being run is on abortion. That is it.
That is it?
That is it. And secondly...
Hang on, Roger. Bernie Marino is running for Senate here in Ohio, yeah, against Sherrod Brown. Sherrod Brown's been in there way, way too long. He's about as lefty as they get. And so Bernie Marino, the only way that they think Bernie Marino can lose to Sherrod Brown is on the abortion, because the women want to come out and make sure that they can have sex, not be held responsible for it. Go ahead, Roger.
No, absolutely. And secondly, you know, the Democratic Party, and I think many times the church, they care more about the guy who wants to cut his ding-ding off than the regular man, just the man. You know, yeah, they just, they care more about the 0.03% of the whatever.
Government by the minority. That's where it is, isn't it, Roger?
The man who wants to be a man, they don't even care about.
No. The dad's doing everything he can to try to feed his family, the economy, in sending them to government schools that's undermining everything that they believe in. And the man in the pulpit won't stand up there and say, this is who you need to vote for. Hey, you don't have to. You're welcome to come to church here, but I want you to tell you something. If you're coming to this church and you're voting for somebody who wants to murder babies, one of us is really, really screwed up. How can that possibly be? I don't get it. We're how many days out? How many days? Oh my goodness. Lesser two evils, I guess. Somebody come on in here, help me out here this morning. Help me out. I got 1,000 directions to go. I'm trying to hold in line here. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I was with the Southern Baptist Convention for close to 39 years.
Oh boy.
And I come across people who claim to be Democrats and I ask them, why don't you go in there and start changing things? Express, stop killing the unborn and so forth. And they get so upset. It's absolutely just nasty.
What do you think that is? Why? I don't know. Pull up for me number six. I wish that I had this the other day when I went to Worthington Kilbourne High School to play to the students. I saw this yesterday. Go ahead.
Might be crazy because I know she's not going to survive anyways, but I only have so much time left with her. Why should I cut it any shorter? She's safe in my womb. And at this point, I had been following a million pro-life organizations on Instagram. I've seen what an abortion looks like. And I said, I don't think I could bear to have her ripped piece by piece out of my womb and shorten the life that's already so short. Take her away from a spot where God has placed her in my hands, in my womb, where she's safe and she's warm and she only knows love and doesn't know pain. Why would I give her such a painful death when she's perfectly fine with me? I said, today's the first day that I felt her kick. I already love her more than I can even express. Not that I didn't love her before. I loved her so much before, but feeling her kick is just, my baby was in there and I couldn't bear the thought of having her removed. This might be.
Wow, huh? Wow. Wow. See, here's part of our problem. Hang on, Dale. I'll get you right in here in a second. Here's part of our problem. I really, for the life of me, I don't know why. And I don't try to be a know-it-all. I don't try to be a know-it-all. Pastors, do you have any idea what the children in your congregation are dealing with? Do you have any idea how little the parents probably know about it? Do the parents have any idea? If the parents were to turn in here every day, their eyes would be open to what's going on in the culture. And if we're disposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, then we probably ought to talk a little bit about the other spices, the pepper and the garlic and what they're doing, trying to destroy our children, and explain to the people in the congregation, here's what they're teaching in church or in school. Here's what it's called. Here's why they try to do it. And here's the deception. Rather than every Sunday come and it's always just about Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with it about Jesus. But if we're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, somebody better prepare them on how to do it. You think they're going to get it on their own through osmosis? I was up late last night. I'm still feeling. Thank you, Susie, for the amen. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, where are they going to learn it? Where are dads who are working and watching ball games? Do they have any idea? I want to hear a pastor stand in the pulpit and rail against Taylor Swift. I want to hear somebody stand in the pulpit and rail against it's not even rap music, whatever that is, Diddy, you know, rail against it. No, we don't do that anymore. We don't do it. How do you expect a guy to know that? I could go into a church today. I'm kind of stream of consciousness this morning. Sorry, I was up late. I could go into church today and I could make a presentation that when people walked out of there, their head would be spinning about what's going on in the culture and going on in the society and going on in their public schools. They have no idea. And if they want to be good, strong Christian people, at some point, they got to dig it out on their own. They can't just get a little dabble, do you, on Sunday. Hey, come on in, Dale.
Well, hallelujah, Coach, to hear that. It's 14201 Highway 90 in Boutte, Louisiana. You will hear it. Yesterday, I preached on the revelation brought forth the Revolutionary War. And I taught from an Abeka homeschool social studies book about the Halfway Covenant. It was absolutely incredible. We had seven guests, and they came up to me, and they said, We visited another church. They do a lot of deliverance ministry. And I said, praise God for it. They go, but you preach truth. And I took that as a badge of honor. Amen. But Coach, I want to share these two things. I got this from Ben Carson. So if it's not a human being, then why are you harvesting the organs from it?
Amen.
And if it is your body,
Then why is it called an abortion when you chop it off and not amputation?
Woo-wee! Ah. Oh, my goodness. Amen, Dave.
That deserves a boom.
That deserves a boom. Because why? The whole thing's about language. We let them win on the language. We don't say it. We don't explain. When's the last time you were in church and your pastor explained to you values clarification, multiculturalism, what all's behind that? So that the people in the church can begin to recognize what's going on around them so they can go out and be more effective at being the salt and the light and understanding the battle they're up against and how they Jesus himself told us that we're not to be ignorant of his devices.
Boom.
Do you think the average Christian has any idea of Satan's devices? Well, why do they come to church? Are they learning it there? Well, I'm on it today, aren't I? Come on in, Greg Yates.
Hey, Coach. Good morning. And good morning. Great topic this morning.
Thank you.
And a needed topic. I have been going to church lately. In fact, I chose a short church near us here in Maine, in Lisbon, Maine, because about 8 years ago, they were the church that hosted Trump's rally. They have a huge gymnasium attached to the church for their school. And I've been going to it for about a month and a half, and it's I've enjoyed it. I've learned a lot from it. I've gained a lot of strength. But yesterday, I found out they're one of only six churches in Maine that actually invite and let the state representatives and Senate candidates speak from the pulpit.
Wow.
And that's just why they should be the choice. And the rep got up there and said, just lay the Bible between you on the lap. Take the card of the Democrat, take the card of Republican, and go down the list of what they support, and then search your Bible. Then go and vote. And the preacher, I mean, he went into revelations. He went into what will happen, what is happening, where the common good, just like you're talking about today, where is it gone? And why aren't we walking out of this church and radiating that message to our neighbors and our community? And it was an hour and a half long service, but it just had such a strength to it that they were courageous enough to say, no, if you want our vote, you come here in a place of worship, in the house of God, and you convince us. So I just wanted to share.
Amen. That's good, man. So, Greg, how about this, folks? How about this? I'm at some point, maybe it's because I'm 71 years old, I really got over worrying about what other people thought. I really do. And I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? The Bible says that a woman should not rule over a man. That ought to be enough for saying, I'm sorry, Kamala Harris can't get my vote. If you're going to be a Christian. But see, what's happened to us is we've had Christianity be watered down where we think that Christianity is about tolerance and diversity and all that stuff. The Word of God said it's not, a woman is not to rule over a man. So, is one woman supposed to rule over how many? 200 million men? Is that the way it's supposed to be in America?
Well, yeah, Coach, the other thing I like about this church is that when I look around, there are not a half, but a third of the population of the church are men my age, are parents and fathers of families. And it's so great to see a population of Bible-believing men.
Amen, baby. Amen. So, Greg, let me ask you this. Who do you suppose Putin's hoping gets elected? Kamala or Trump?
That's not even a guess. Huh?
Who do you he already Putin? Said he wants Kamala.
Come on, man. What the hell's wrong with us? What is wrong with us? And why won't our pastors stand up and say it? Can I tell you why? Because, see, they haven't even been able to get by this one. They're afraid Trump's immoral. Somebody say boom. Somebody say boom.
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 They're afraid he's an immoral man in the midst of immoral men. Hey, huh? Come on. Come on. And they're afraid to stand up and, well, yeah, but he's a misogynist, whatever that word even means. Huh? What man? Come on now. What man really in his heart doesn't have misogynistic tendencies? Misogynistic meaning a man should rule over a woman. Hey, look that up for me real quick, Spence. I don't even know if that was a word. It's probably one of those other made up words. Probably wasn't even around when Mr. Webster was writing misogynistic. Huh? Well, it isn't even in there. Huh? So Spencer, go to modern American English. And what's a misogynist? What's a misogynist?
Hey, Coach, I like to get a massage once in a while.
Yeah. That's what got the quarterback at Cleveland in trouble, getting too many massages from women.
Right.
But Spencer, go to, just put anything in there, any dictionary. Misogynist, another made-up word, say, meaning that you can't, oh, my goodness. Folks, we're so messed up. The family is so messed up. I look around, I see, what is it? A hatred, aversion to, or prejudice against women. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. So if I say that I want Donald Trump because I don't want Kamala Harris, it ain't because I'm a misogynist. It's because I'm a realist. And say, I don't want Kamala Harris negotiating with Xi Jinping. I want Trump. It's like, I'm sorry, I tell my wife this all the time. If something happens here at our house that we need the police, make sure you call the cops and they send a big fat man who eats donuts. Don't send some skinny woman with a gun. I'm not a misogynist. I'm a realist. Huh? I'm a realist. Send me a big dude. Don't send me a woman holding a gun. Not that a woman can't hold a gun, but I'm old. Anybody picking this up today? Got any friends out there? Anybody think I've lost my mind? See, we've lost our mind. We've lost our mind. The job of the man is to protect the women. The job of the men were to go to war. Not, and we want to put women in war. What is wrong with us? We've lost our standard. Jeff, come on in. I'm not mad. It just seems like it.
Coach, Pastor Matt's been preaching this from the pulpit, just what you're saying with the evil in the schools and why he's voting for Trump. I give him one of them Trump hats that says, Jesus, my savior, Trump is my president. He's wearing that baby proudly. We went to a street fair one night. He wore that hat. And then now he's selling the hats. He has an oil field service building. He services all them rough, tough guys in the oil field here in this part of Ohio, probably over 100 customers, men that come in there, real men. These guys are, and they know Pastor Matt. They love him because he's a stand-up guy. They're coming in there and buying these hats, putting them hats on their heads. He's selling, but he's just telling them. So they love him to death because he's manly.
Yeah, if a man gets offended by another man, both of them got to check their heart. That's what I think. Huh? Especially somebody's telling me the truth. By the way, back there in Matthew, where was that, Spencer? Matthew chapter 5? What was that, chapter 5? Let's go back there real quick. Go up a little bit farther. Go up a little bit farther. Because it tells us that blessed are men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Meaning, when you show up and you represent me, they're going to hate you. Isn't that what it says? Anybody read that differently than me? Huh? Blessed are men which shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Huh? I don't want them to hate me because I'm arrogant or because I'm jealous or I'm greedy. I don't want them to hate me for that. I want them to hate me because I'm speaking the truth about their own lifestyle. I want them to hate me for that. But see, we want to love everybody. We want everybody to feel good. Lauren, come on in. Boy, I'm all over the place today. I was up late.
Well, we've been fed such a lie with it's whether it's, you know, Corella or, you know, Trump. You're not voting for this is where the lens has to change. You have to change the lens. It's not about voting for Trump, the man, the policies that he stands for versus the policies that Corella stands for.
I'm voting against baby murders. I'm voting against getting ding-dongs cut off. And I'm voting against men being women. I'm voting against that.
Boom.
Go ahead.
And I'm voting against a woman taking my right to want to be with a man instead of her telling me that I have to be with a guy who wants to be a chick who can't, who's now a lesbian, who's a guy who says he's a lesbian and he identifies as that. I don't want to be with that. I need to, and I want a Christian man. It doesn't mean that he has to be a white Christian man. I just want to be with a Christian man, and I want to be with a man, not with a little boys who can't decide how to man up.
I want to lead a family.
I
want to be with a man that can distinguish between right and wrong, and try to live it and try to teach it. I hope that's
and protect me and protect me and my daughter. I don't want to live with someone who doesn't know how to protect even himself. You know, and they're telling me what I'm supposed to have and how I'm supposed to like it and what's the definition of it. No.
Laura Ann.
You know, I want a man. They don't even have little boys anymore, because now they're transferring little boys into being little girls.
Laura Ann,
so everybody's confused.
We had a woman make it to the Supreme Court of the United States when they asked her under oath what a woman was. And she couldn't define it.
And my question to her is, you know, did Ann Slow visit you once a month? You know, that's the difference between a guy and a girl. If you have Ann Slow visiting you once a month, guess what? That defines you as a chick.
That's right. Amen. Pull this one up for me. I'm all over the place today. I'm sorry. I hope you can feel me today, though. Feel me at least. Goodness gracious. We're in war. We need wartime men to stand in the pulpit and call out the evil, because the people can't see it. They've been programmed not to see it.
Boom.
They've been programmed to think if I'm against transgenders, I'm bigoted, and it isn't even about that. I'm trying to protect the innocent. Love my children. Love my neighbor's children. Protect them from that evil. Why is that so hard to say? Man, I'm feeling it today. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, and sometimes it's not just the blindness, Coach. It is the love and loyalty. George Washington writing in his farewell address. You know, they wanted to make him a king. He refused that next election. He said in his farewell address, he said the most dangerous thing to our republic is loyalty to party over principle.
Oh boy, we got that. Well, loyalty to party is nothing more than laziness. By the way, I ain't loyal to the Republicans. I hate the Republicans just not as much as I hate the Democrats. But one of them rule over us, right?
Absolutely. Look at the Democrats. Listen, they pulled Biden and they stuck her in there. If they did that in the Republican Party, you know, you and I, we'd be up in arms if they did that to Trump, because, hey, we voted for the guy. These people, they don't care. They are so you literally, they could put Putin in there as a Democrat. If Trump was on the Democratic ticket, they'd be loyal to him.
They would be, for sure. They'd love him, man. They'd love him. Okay, I'm pulling something. This is shocking. Have you guys ever heard of Dostoevsky? Pull that up. It's 19 truths. Pull it up for me. Dostoevsky, he was a great historian. He was a historian, a Russian historian, wrote a lot of books, Pride and Prejudice. No, that wasn't what he wrote. It doesn't matter. I'll find it. But I saw this on the internet the other day. 19 powerful sentences by Fyodor Dostoevsky that will change how you view the world. Now, remember, he explained to us in his writings communism, how the mind works, anti-Christianism. And look what Dostoevsky says. Above all, don't lie to yourself. Vinny, that'd be a boom. Number two, Your worst sin is that you have destroyed and betrayed yourself for nothing. Wow. Huh? Yeah, you fell in line and kept the company line and didn't open up your mouth. And now you're just following along like a little sheep. Number three, man has it all in his hands and it slips through his fingers from sheer cowardice. Number four, the best way to keep a prisoner from escaping is to make sure he never knew he was in prison to begin with. It's good stuff, isn't it? Huh? Number five, I gave up caring about anything, and then all the problems disappeared. Number six, tolerance will reach such a level that intelligent people will be banned from thinking so as not to offend the imbeciles. This is 1870s. He's writing this. I'm going to read that again. Read that one again. Tolerance will reach such a level that intelligent people will be banned from thinking so as not to offend the imbeciles. Benny, that's a boom. Not that you're an imbecile, Benny.
Boom.
Seven, nothing in this world is harder than speaking the truth. Nothing easier than flattery.
Amen.
Nothing easier than just going along. The mystery of human existence lies not in just staying alive, but in finding something to live for. I found that thing. Number nine, you sense that you should be following a different path, a more ambitious one. You felt that you were destined for other things, but you had no idea how to achieve them. And in your misery, you began to hate everything around you. Number 10, man only likes to count his troubles. He doesn't calculate his happiness.
Amen.
11, the cleverest of all, in my opinion, is a man who calls himself a fool at least once a month. That's me. I see how stupid I am at least once a month. Number 12, the soul is healed by being with children. Our grandkids were all here the other day, all of them, all 10 of them. I just looked around and said, Lord, you are so good.
My Amen, coach.
Heals the soul, baby. If you want to overcome the world, overcome yourself. My body, my choice, my. What's good for me? Everybody votes for what's good for them, and nobody ever votes what's good for everybody anymore. Or what's good for us all. Because, of course, it can't be good for everybody, but telling the truth. By the way, not murdering babies would be good for everybody. Not letting homosexuals marry would be good for everybody. See, we're in a culture, in a society, where we are being dictated to by the minority. Number 14, it takes something more than an intelligence to act intelligently. It's right, it takes courage to act intelligently. Number 15, to go wrong in your own way is better to do right in somebody else's way. Wow. Dude's pretty smart, isn't he? 16, allow me to give you some advice from the heart. There's a single refuge, a single medicine, art and creative work. Number 17, the darker the night, the brighter the stars. The deeper the grief, the closer is God. 18. It's better to be unhappy and know the worst than to be happy in a fool's paradise. Number 19. How could you live and have no story to tell?
Boom.
That's some powerful stuff there, isn't it? Huh? I believe he's an atheist. I could be wrong, but I think Dostoevsky was an atheist. Come on in, Jack. You there? No, Jack? Come on, Jack. Hey, Jack, wake up.
Hey, this is the female Jack.
All right, female Jack. Jackie.
This is okay. I just want to say that the spirit of Jezebel has invaded the church. Yes, I still go to a church, but that's where it started. It has invaded the church. I have a best friend. I won't go on. I'll just be a second. I've known her for almost 40 years. She has completely taken on that misogyny thing or whatever you want to call it. And I mean, it's the saddest thing I've ever seen. And if we could get the Christian women to wake up and discern and understand what's going on, we could come against this spirit because Amen. Jezebel has invaded the church. I'm done.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah. Boom! Yeah. Yeah. Huh? Look, I don't go to church to feel better. I go to church to feel worse, to know how I got to elevate my game here. Elevate my game. It's a war. Come on, man. Come on, man. See the Ohio State Buckeyes? They got beat the other night by 1 second. 1 second. They lost by 1 second. Yeah, 1 second. They were that close to victory. 1 second. I don't want to be at the end of my life and have missed it by 1 second. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, have him scroll down to number 19 again.
Put that in the chat, by the way, number 19.
Yeah. Last Tuesday in the garage, I didn't have a pastor there, so I did it. So we went through some different scenarios, and this is what I told him. I said, different scenarios I shared with him. I said, Coach has said this for 20 years. We're just making a story.
Amen.
He just looked at me funny. Remember, I used to always say that all the time. Anything stupid happened, you're good. He said, we're just making a story.
I'm going to tell you this, folks. It's kind of personal. It's okay. When I'm laying there in that casket and everybody comes by, they look in there at me, I want them all to have a story. I want them, after they walk by and they do whatever you do, I want them to go back in the back of the room and talk to each other. Oh, yeah, remember when he did this? You remember when he did this? Remember when he did this? Huh? Who wants to live a vanilla life? By the way, Jesus didn't say you were the vanilla of the earth, did he? He said, no, you're the salt of the earth, man. You're the salt. And what, they're going to hate you? I bet they hate Jack McCarthy up there in Maine. I bet they hate him. Oh, I bet they hate him. I bet they're starting to hate Pastor Clint down there in Royston. Oh, yeah, there's some out there that hate him, right? Oh, my goodness.
Hey, you know, I'd share different stories of abortion clinics and gay priests, stuff we've done over the years. But the funny one, I told him, I said, one time we're in the mountains in Pennsylvania. My Cadillac overheated. I had no water in it. I said, Coach finds this dirty old milk jug in a ditch and goes down over the mountain and dipping water out of a stream. He comes back up with this dirty, muddy water. I looked at him. I said, you can't pour that in the Cadillac, in the engine of my Cadillac. He said, what's it going to hurt now? And he's dumping that muddy water in there. I said, he looked at me and said, we're just making a story. I said, Coach, you quit saying that.
That's the truth, huh? We were out almost out to Penn State. We were clear out there, and this car overheats. And I found a plastic thing, went down, got it out of the river, and poured it in his car. And we got ourselves to safety. Anyway.
And after you poured the first one in, I'm like, okay, you went down and got another one.
And yes, it worked. Yes. Now, Jeff had to get a new he had to get it fixed. But at least we didn't have to get towed. We were able to rent a car. That was a long time ago. Oh, my goodness, huh? Why do we live such cowardly, passive lives? We only go through this one time. We have the opportunity now, the greatest battle the world has ever seen since the beginning of time, when Satan and the devil went at it. I'm sorry, when Satan and Jesus went at it, the greatest thing is right in front of us right now. I don't know if there's been a time in human history where more intelligent people were focused on more evil than what we see right now. Maybe in the past, there was a lot of disinformation. People didn't really know what's going on. We know what's going on now. We know that little baby is a human being, and government is paying money to murder him, and cowardly men aren't saying they're doing anything about it. Yeah, Craig, come on in.
Well, Coach, I think when we stand in front of the Lord, you know, we'll be forgiven for the things that we did, but we're going to grieve for the things that we missed, that God said these are opportunities and you didn't take them. I think we're going to grieve over that.
Craig, I think he's going to, you know, they say that's your life play before you. I think I envision sitting there watching all the opportunities I missed, all the times I could have stood up and spoke up and made a difference. And if I'd have done that, what a difference I would have made in somebody's life, maybe somebody I didn't even know. And I missed it. I blew it. I was worried about what people were going to think. I was worried about whether I was going to get in trouble. I was worried about whether I was going to lose my job. I worried about I was going to lose a friend. Oh, God help us, Lord. God help us. We're in war, baby. We better put our game. We used to call them game face. I don't even know what that means, what a game face is. I remember Coach Norman would walk around the locker room on for the game, football game. Say, game faces, get your game faces on. I don't even know what that meant, but I knew what it meant. It wasn't a game face. It was a game heart. Get your game heart on, boys. Get your game heart on. Because we're in the battle of all time right before us right now. Get your game face on. See you tomorrow.